So we're continuing. Rav Yochanan told us, Jerusalem was destroyed over two people, two Jews named Kamtza and the son of Kamtza. There was a great mountain called King's Mountain that was destroyed over a rooster and a hen. Ashaka derispak charuv beitir. The city of Beitar was destroyed over the axle of a wheel. What was Rav Yochanan's opening line? If you don't have foresight, then destruction comes. So Rav Yochanan says, you want to know what destruction came over? Jerusalem was destroyed over two people. Tur Malka was destroyed over two birds. And Beitar was destroyed over one axle. So don't underestimate things in life, Rav Yochanan says. Little things can lead to big consequences. Prince was shot and world wars began, right? Rav Yochanan says, be careful. That's why, by the way, I'm going to tell you something a little controversial. I'm not so sure that the government's reaction to Tag Mechir is so unreasonable. When the government lied, when a Jew was killed by stones in Hebron, I didn't think the government was wrong. I thought we can't judge them. Because the government was in the middle of negotiations with the Obama administration, and they couldn't have a select number of people decide public policy for them. Whether their public policy was right or wrong, okay, that's a point we can argue about. But whether their position that they will conceal the information to ensure that riots don't ensue so that they can follow through on their public policy, well, I understand them. That is their job. You agree with the way they're doing it, you disagree with the way they're doing it, but small actions carry big consequences. And small people don't think about the big consequences. And the job of a leader or a government is to think about it. So Rav Yochanan sums it all up and says, the question is, are you concerned? Do you realize that actions bring about larger reactions? And so now the Gemara is going to expand and tell us each story. Over Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Charuv Yerushalayim, Jerusalem was destroyed. Do Gavra Derachmei Kamtza Ubal Dvavei Bar Kamtza. There was a man who liked Kamtza. His friend's name was Kamtza. And his enemy's name was Bar Kamtza. Avad Seudata. He made some kind of festive meal. Amar Le Shamei. He told his servant, Zilaiti Li Kamtza. Go fetch me Kamtza. Azalaiti Le Bar Kamtza. The servant made a mistake. He brought him Bar Kamtza. Now we know the continuation of the story, right? You guys know the continuation of the story?
Yeah, but I have a question of what did Kamtza do wrong?
Oh, beautiful. Let's continue. Atashkech Edav Yativ. So the host, we don't get to hear his name. The host, he comes and finds Kamtza sitting. Amalei Mechdi Ogava Bal Devaveh Dehau Gavrahu. He says to Bar Kamtza, gee, let's think about this for a minute. Aren't you my enemy? My baitacha, what you doing here? Kumpu, get up, get out. He says, you know what, if I already came, let me be. I'll pay you for what I ate and drank. He said, I'm not letting you stay. So Bar Kamtza said to him, I'll pay you for half the meal. I'll pay you for half the guests. You have a whole party here. I'll pay for half the food here. Amalei lo. He said, no. So he said to him, I'll pay you the cost of the whole party. Amalei lo. He said, no. Naktei biyadei. He grabbed him by his hand. The ukme, he lifted him, the apke, and kicked him out. Amal. So Bar Kamtza said to himself, Ho'il v'avuyat v'rabanan v'lo machube. Being that there were learned people there, and they saw this happen, And they didn't protest. They didn't tell him, stop, let him be. Shema mina kanichalu. Must be. They feel the same way. They're okay with this kind of behavior. So he went and said slander about the Jews by the king. He made his way up to the Caesar and said to him, you see, he was a very prominent Jew. He was a wealthy Jew. He went to the Caesar and said, the Jews rebelled against you. So the Caesar was smart enough to ask, who says? He said, I'll prove it. Send an animal as a sacrifice that you ask the Jews to sacrifice on your behalf. Chaziti mekalvin lei, and you'll see whether they accept it from you or not. You'll see whether they accept your leadership. Azal shadal biyadei latilta. So he took a chosen calf and sent it with bar kamtza. Bahade dekaate, as they were approaching the temple, shadal beimuma beniv sfatayim v'amale v'dukin shebayin. So Bar Kamtza took a little pocket knife and wounded the animal either on its lip, on its upper lip, or on its upper eyelid. So that type of blemish doesn't disqualify a non-Jew's animal. Jews are held to a different standard. We're not allowed to bring a sacrifice that has a slit lip or a slit eyelid, but non-Jews are. So if the Caesar would want to bring on his own private altar a sacrifice in honor of God with a slit lip or a slit eyelid, that would be fine. But to take that animal and offer it in the temple, our tradition doesn't permit it. So our tradition says a non-Jew could offer that animal on his own altar in honor of God, but not in the temple. So the rabbis thought maybe we should sacrifice it because it is the Caesar who sent that animal. We want to maintain the peace. Amalu Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas. So there was a rabbi there. Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas. And he said, people will derive from this that one may offer animals that have a blemish. People will learn halacha from this. That's wrong. They said, okay, if you're not going to let us sacrifice it, so then let's bump off Bar Kamtza. He shouldn't be able to go back to the Caesar and tell him that we didn't sacrifice it. We'll tell the officers we sacrificed it, and Bar Kamtza will be buried 6 feet under. Amaluz Rabbi Zecharia. Yomru matin mum bekotshim yarek. Rabbi Zecharia said, you know what will happen? People will say, if you put a blemish in an animal, you get the death penalty. That's not the halacha either. So you'll end up teaching people the wrong halacha. So they didn't do anything. Where's the foresight? What's going to happen? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan zooms in and points a finger and says, "An vitanuto she Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas." Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas' patience, that he was willing to deal with such a vile human being as Bar Kamtza and did not wipe him off the face of the earth. Hechriva et beitenu. That's what brought about the destruction. Patience is a virtue, but only so far. He went too far. He had a point. Don't offer the sacrifice. Fine. But don't let Bar Kamtza go back and tell him you didn't offer the sacrifice. No. Wait a second. You should have found another way to bump him off. V'salfate chaleinu, that destroyed the temple and burnt the holy, ve'glitanu me'artzeinu, and sent us all into exile. What was Rav Yochanan's opening line? Be concerned. Have some foresight. Shadar Eloye, Niron, Kesar. So he sent them Niron. Ki ka'ati shadagira lemizrach, ata nafal b'Yerushalayim. Niron wanted to check, does God want this or not? So he's going to do, he's going to look for a sign. So he shoots an arrow to the east, and it lands on Jerusalem. Lemarav, he shoots an arrow to the west. Nafal b'Yerushalayim, it lands in Jerusalem. Na'alba uchot ha-shamayim, he shoots an arrow in every direction of the heavens, and they all land in Jerusalem. The wind's always blowing his arrows to Jerusalem. So he sees a little Jewish boy. He tells him, what verse did you learn today? Amale, the child says, he says, well, the verse says, I will place my vengeance in Edom in the hands of my nation Israel. God's vengeance against Edom will be in the hands of Israel. He says, God wants to destroy his home. And then he's going to cleanse his hands with me. Meaning he's going to use me and then wipe me off the face of the planet. I'm going to do the dirty work and then I'm going to get hit over the head for it. Not a good idea. So, Arak Vazal Vigayr. He went and converted to Judaism. Look at that. That's like Rommel saying, I'm not doing this. I'm going to convert. One of Hitler's generals. The Nafak Mini Rabbi Meir. So, a few weeks ago, I saw one of the books. They write that Rabbi Meir was Niron's son. Nafak Minei came out of him, Rabbi Meir. I didn't think it was that close, but I saw a book that says he was actually his son. The great Rabbi Meir, quite possibly the greatest sage in Mishnah, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So either he was his son or his grandson. So they lost their general. The guy disappears. He converts. So they send Vespasian. Vespasian comes and lays siege for 3 years. There were three wealthy people within Jerusalem. Nakdimon ben Guyon ben Kalbasavov ben Tzitzit HaKeset. Three wealthy Jews. Nakdimon ben Kalba Savua and ben Tzitzit HaKeset. Nakdimon. The Gemara continues with the whole story. So we know the three wealthy people had a lot of food, etc. If we had to point a finger at the destruction, what would we say? What brought about the destruction of the temple? Rabbi Yochanan himself later says, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas's humility or his patience brought about the destruction of the temple. But the destruction of Jerusalem, Rabbi Yochanan says, was because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. I want to quote to you the story from the Medrash Rabbah. Because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. And Ari already asked, what did Kamtza do wrong? There's a maral on this. Beautiful maral. Like maral has a very nice piece on this.
I'd love to hear that.
Maybe next week Thursday.
Yep.
Maybe next week Thursday we'll really focus on this. But let's just bring up the Medrash Rabbah and we'll conclude with that.
Which book in Maral?
You ask good questions. I have to think.
What did it start out with, though? Like, was talking about property that was stolen?
Correct. Because in the time of the destruction, so you had a lot of these bands of murderers who were stealing property.
This is before the temple was destroyed.
Correct.
Wait, so before Vespasian became the emperor of Rome, he was a general?
Correct.
And he's the one who came and laid siege to Jerusalem? And then Titus destroyed it eventually? How does it...
Give me 1 second. You'll see. Titus was his son. When he became... the general, so he appointed his son.
So So what's the law if somebody stole land? Can you buy from
that? We could learn, not right now. The Medrash says the following story. There was a man in Jerusalem that made a meal. He said to one of his family members, "Go bring me kamtza, my friend." So he went and brought bar kamtza, his enemy. Bar kamtza went and sat among the guests. The host came and found him. He said to him, "You're my enemy. You're sitting in my house. Get up and leave my house." He said, "Don't embarrass me. I'll pay you the cost of my meal." He says, "I don't want you sitting here." He says, "Don't embarrass me. I'll give you what I ate and drank." He says, "I don't want you sitting here." He says, "I'll pay for the whole meal. Get out." Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas was there at the party. And Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas was wondering, should I stand up and say, "Don't do this"? Or should I be silent? The Medrash gives us a totally different perspective, a scary part of the story that the Gemara omitted. Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas remained silent.
The Gemara mentions he was there.
Yes, the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara doesn't say he was there. The Gemara only says when he came to the temple, Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas was there. The Medrash tells us Rabbi Zecharia's doubt began at the party. At the party, he sees what's going on and he's not sure, should I or shouldn't I? Bar Kamtza walked out of the party and said, "They're all having a good time. I'm going to go rat on them." He went to the authorities and said, "You should know, when you send animals to be sacrificed, the Jews take the chosen animals that you send and eat them. And they take worse animals and sacrifice them." The Romans kicked him out. They said, ridiculous. He went a second time. And he said, "Anytime you guys send a sacrifice, the Jews eat it. And they bring other animals instead. And if you don't believe me, send an animal with me. And you'll see right away that I'm not lying." They're traveling, and the Roman messenger that was with him went to sleep, and he made all kinds of invisible wounds on the animal that the Roman messenger wouldn't recognize. When the Kohen saw the animal, the Kohen said, "Okay." And he exchanged that animal for another one without blemishes. The messenger from the king said, "Why don't you bring the animal the emperor sent?" So the Kohen said to him, "Tomorrow." By the third day, they hadn't brought the animal that the emperor had sent. So the messenger sent back word for the emperor. He said, "That Jew told you the truth." And that's when the emperor said, "So then, we're not interested in that temple. This is all a lie."
But the simple quote, the Kohen can't say to him, "Listen, this is plunged down. There's no reasoning."
Well, they didn't recognize those blemishes. In their law books, right, those weren't considered a blemish, right? And when the animal left Rome, it was in perfect condition. So that wouldn't work. So we have a slightly different version of the story in the Medrash. It gives us room to think a little bit about what messages we give when we play certain games with finances, with government funds, all kinds of things. But there's a stark warning at the beginning of the story. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Praised is he who is always cautious." And I think part of what Rav Yochanan was doing was telling us, look at history and learn from it. And I want us to think why Rav Yochanan held Kamtza accountable. Why does Rav Yochanan say it's over Kamtza and Bar Kamtza that the temple was destroyed? Let's think for a minute. And maybe some food for thought. The simple reading of the Talmud, even though Rashi doesn't seem to go with this pshat, the simple reading of the Talmud is that Kamtza and Bar Kamtza were father and son. Bar Kamtza, the son of Kamtza. So let's think for a minute. Kamtza's held accountable. He wasn't even there. There's enmity between the host, we don't know his name, and Bar Kamtza. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say it's the host's fault. We see this Bar Kamtza fellow was really a nasty guy. Can we really hold the host accountable for not wanting him at his meal? Maybe the host knew what kind of filthy guy he was and says, none of my guests want to sit around the likes of him. Look at what he was capable of doing. I'll tell you a story. I still don't know what the right answer to the story is. A person once came and said he needs help with a loan. His business is on the brink. And he had a whole story. And part of the story panned out. And there were people who were close to him who were able to help him. So I helped him get a meeting with one person who potentially could give him the loan and keep his business afloat. The meeting went relatively well. And after the meeting, the guy tells me, you know, so-and-so could have helped and he didn't. And so-and-so could have helped and he didn't. I'm contemplating slashing his tires and putting rocks in his gas tank, and maybe even cutting his brake line.
This is the person who got the loan?
Yeah. And I'm standing looking at the guy, and I'm thinking, I'm talking to a murderer? Like, what's he talking about? How could he talk that way? Even if he doesn't mean to do it. Part two. He considers me his friend. Right? I helped him. I'm a good guy. He's not talking about cutting my brake line, right? I hope. Now, let's say I make a kiddush. Am I supposed to invite him? I don't want to be within his four footsteps. Even though he didn't do any of that, but the fact that a person can talk that way, you know, he's so angry. He's talking about doing acts of murder. Like, you stand there and you say, I don't want to talk to you. It's not a joke. It's his way of expressing his anger, but a person shouldn't talk that way. Am I wrong? Because I don't want to be within his four footsteps. I don't want to see him. To my mind, the person that's willing to talk about murdering another person, how could I talk to this person? I don't want him. And what will happen if at the kiddush he sees the guy who didn't help him? So, is the host so wrong when the host says to Bar Kamtza, I don't want you here? Imagine the host had a reason that he didn't like Bar Kamtza. But Rabbi Yochanan does not say, because of Bar Kamtza, the temple was destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan says, because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Rabbi Yochanan does not say, because of a nasty host. And then Rabbi Yochanan sticks in a line about Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas. What's Rabbi Yochanan telling us? Food for thought.